They call this electoral system a democracy? Well, I prefer the technical term, POS, short for Pitifully Outdated System. Look around. After World War II, new democracies emerged all over the world and needed to create structures to ensure that voting was fair and practical. Did any of those adopt the US system? Hell no! Because if you have to convince your populace that the new system is a just and efficient one, ours just doesn't cut it. That's not surprising considering how it grew out of skewed historical circumstances into modern times like a slow malignant cancer. Occasional treatments like the 1965 Voting Rights Act had only moderate effect because the basic structure remained only superficially democratic. In fact, just recently, in December 2000, the Supreme Court reminded us that we citizens have no affirmed right to vote, and on the state level, some states disenfranchise felons permanently, even for misdemeanors. Or take the District of Columbia. Their nearly 60,000 residents have zero voting representation in Congress. And it's all legal! Then there's the 18th century dinosaur, the Electoral College that splits up a national election into state elections. Not only do these votes fail to accurately represent regional populations, giving too much weight to tiny states, but another ill at the very core of our POS makes it just terrible. Winner-take-all reduces the millions of votes for any second-placed party to nil and hands over the entire state's electoral college votes to the winner. Winner-take-all turns elections at all levels into a farce. Where local voter preferences are clearly dominant, it's a done deal. As a result, many races are uncontested, causing justifiable voter apathy. But what is intrinsically evil about winner-take-all systems is that it encourages the ruling elites to doctor the shape of voting districts to produce the desired electoral outcomes. Gerrymandering has become a science, and it is ruthlessly applied everywhere, most prominently last summer in Texas, where it miraculously produced 5 more Republican congressional seats. What makes winner-take-all especially unjust is that third parties never receive representation and may even get a candidate elected who is favored by an overall minority of voters. If all this wasn't enough to prevent a free and fair voter expression, numerous procedural hurdles explain why, internationally, the US has one of the lowest voter turnouts. You can only vote once you have actively registered to vote. Which feeds into another theme. Money equals votes. If your party has the cash to pay solicitors to register new partisan voters, your party might win. Additionally, the rules for registration and the actual voting process differ not just from state to state, but county to county. Instead of one unified, simple procedure, we have a complicated mess where what is perfectly fine here is illegal over there. Why? In many cases, the answer is because the ruling party tailored the local rules to keep out those folks unlikely to vote for them. Often enough, Jim Crow throws his long shadow. Or take the scandalous fact that voting day is a regular workday, not a mandatory holiday as practiced all over the world. We make it extremely hard for working people to go to the polls. If you hold 2 jobs to make ends meet, as all too many Americans do, or if you're a working mother, chances are you're not going to make it to the polls. So finally, let's mention money. In the United States of America, it is the perfectly legal and commonly accepted practice for special corporate interests to purchase political representation. The title of Greg Palast's recent book says it all, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. Our system is absolutely outrageous and yet plays itself out shamelessly in full view of the public, with lobbyists descended on Washington like a plague of locusts, where corporate figures who paid into politicians' campaign coffers are invited to write policy regulating their industry and are appointed to key positions. And don't look to the mass media for much enlightenment. That former watchdog of democracy has long quit barking. Their owners are corporate conglomerates who benefit nicely from this rigged game. Rotten to the core? Yes, because it's all legal. Or to modify a Hollywood disclaimer, no innocent laws were harmed in the making of this democracy. Call it democratic, if you will. I'll call it a POS. Do we have to live with what we've got? Of course not. There are plenty of proven election systems that represent the will of the voter in much superior ways, led by proportional representation and instant runoff voting. If these systems, used successfully worldwide, were adapted to suit our needs in the United States, a democracy worth its name might actually take flight. A first step in that direction, even if that sounds paradoxical after this exhaustive denunciation, might be to vote the current rulers out of office and then hold their successors to the same standards.